you're visiting with us, please know that we appreciate your presence. It's always a joy and a pleasure to have visitors to come and to be with us in our worship to the great God of heaven. The leadership has been involved in a lot of planning and preparation for 2018. We are unveiling our plans piece by piece or at different intervals, hoping to fully share with everyone the plan for 2018 on the 24th of this month, which will be on a Wednesday night, and then officially begin on the 28th concerning our congregational theme. So the leadership is very excited about the plans, and those who have already been involved in the sharing with these plans and even having input, I believe that they are excited as well. God is going to bless us with a great year. And sometimes it's after storms that the best comes forward. And so 2018 becomes a very, very good year for opportunities of exceptional growth and healing for our congregation and for us individually as well. One of the things that we really wanted to focus our attention on is our worship to God. And you notice our elder began with Psalm what? 100. And then read in your hearing is Psalm 100. It is our desire to improve our worship by improving our attitude. We don't want to change the service. Don't want to change the order of worship. What we want to change is our attitude. And we just believe that if our attitude gets right, then we just believe that everything else is going to fall into place. So based on Psalm 100, I'm taking the title of this particular message, Making God First in 2018, or Making God Supreme. And it's based on a knowledge of Psalm 100. And all of us ministers, all four of us ministers, will be speaking from Psalm 100. And we're going to do this for the next few weeks, leading up to our church meeting. And I will have a version. Brother Myers will have a version. Brother Bradshaw will have a version. Brother Worthy will have a version. In other words, you're going to hear from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John concerning what we are doing. We're all talking about the same thing, coming from the same passage, but you will hear the different perspectives. And that's going to be good and enriching for the congregation. Brother Myers will be sharing this evening, and he will be talking about the same thing. Why is Psalm 100 such a wonderful passage for us to begin the new year? The book of Psalms is a collection of 150 lyric poems. That's what they are. The Psalms are poems. And these poems have been put into music. And the temple worship of old among the Jewish people and the children of Israel, when they came to the temple, this was their song book. But what's important for us to know is that it was more than a songbook. These psalms have found their way into what we call the canon. what we call the authentic and authoritative scripture word from God. So what was revealed to the psalmist really came from God through the psalmist. And the psalmist is talking about God, but it is God who revealed it to him. Over 1,000 years it took for all of these to come together. Moses, an author of one of these psalms, Solomon, King David is perhaps the one most prolific in providing us with 73 of these 150 psalms. When you look at the Psalms are historical. God wants us through the psalm to have a history of his dealings with his people. The Psalms provide us ethical teaching, God's expectation for our lives and how we should live as his people. There are Psalms that teach that, especially the first Psalm. And I don't want to get too deep because I know I got a long way to go. And then there are Psalms of penitence, which means that when one sins, what does repentance look like? What does remorse look like? And there are psalms that help us to see what true repentance is all about. They're messianic, which means that they teach us about the coming of the Messiah, helping us to understand that no one but God, someone who knew the future, could have an author pen words in the present, and then they come true in the future in the Messiah. This helps us to see that the Psalms are not only historical, ethical, Psalms of penitence and messianic, but they are inspired of God. And in the Psalms, is an embryo or a germ of everything that's taught in the New Testament. In other words, God wants us to learn from them. Whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. We, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And that's why we looked at Psalm 100, because this is a psalm of praise. We want to make our worship better in 2018. Let's don't take and bring God the same attitude and spirit. Let's change our spirit, but let's change it the way God wants us to do it. This psalm, I will go as far as I can, and I told you that this is a series. This is like the soap operas. They pick up where they left off on the next time. Psalm 100, listen to it again, says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. First thing that you have to see is that this is a command. This is not only a command, but it's a summons. Is the psalmist the one who's issuing out the command? Is the psalmist the one who penned this particular psalm? Is he the one summoning everyone to come and praise God? No. It is God speaking through the psalmist who says, when you come before me, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. These verses are an exhortation, they are summons, they are command to praise God based on the fact that he is worthy. In the psalm, in this one psalm, there are going to be several truths that are going to be highlighted. Number one, the enthusiastic worship, or worshiping God with enthusiasm. Number two, universality of worship. Number three, the sincerity of worship, the intelligence of worship, the public nature of worship, and even the thanksgiving that comes in worship. This morning, I am going to deal with the enthusiasm that's in this text. In the command, God wants enthusiasm to exude into the lives of those who worship him. That's why he says, make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, unto the Lord. When he says, make a joyful noise, the word noise comes from a Hebrew word which means a glad shout. In other words, when you come into God's assembly of worship and God's people are worshiping him, there ought to be a noise. It ought to be a noise. It ought to be some excitement, some enthusiasm about coming into the house of God for worship. Enthusiasm simply means an intense and eager enjoyment, intense interest, intense approval. When we come into the house of God, we ought to have enthusiasm by sharing joyful noise unto the Lord, a glad shout. Well, what can you equate this to? The Houston Astros won the World Series last year. And that last game, when they won the World Series, there was a shout all over Houston. Folk were shouting. They were joyous. God says, what I want, some of that excitement that you have for all this other stuff, give me some of it. God says, if you can get enthused about all this other stuff, please know that when you come into worship, there ought to be an enthusiasm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This joyful noise must be visual and verbal. Someone said, well, Brother Gibbs, I got joy. Well, most time if you got real joy and you're glad about something, it don't just stay on the inside. There are other ways of seeing this idea of making a joyful noise. He says with a shout, and he's going to help us to understand what shout means in verse number 2. Because, you know, making a joyful noise, he doesn't just want noise. He wants a certain kind of noise, and he'll tell you what kind of noise and what kind of enthusiasm I'm looking for. And he'll do that in verse number 2. But there's another way of seeing this, and seeing this as a victory. It's a victory. We come to worship because there is a victory. We come to worship because there's respect. We come to worship because there is rank. Well, what do you mean, Brother Gibbs? When it comes to victory, I've already expressed about a team that wins a game or wins a championship. There is victory. When an army king would win a battle and he would come home, there was victory. There was noise over the victory. But then there's another way of looking at it, and that is that God is simply saying that I need some respect. It's the idea that when one would come before king or queen, they would bow. Or they would kiss the hand. What are you doing? You're showing respect. Then, whenever a soldier would meet an officer, salute. And that's because of the rank. God is simply saying that when you come into my house, there needs to be an enthusiasm about my rank, about my respect, and the fact that I am a God who has brought victory. God says, I need you to be enthusiastic. Here's what our problem is. Our problem is that a lot of times we don't have this holy enthusiasm because we let whatever happened during the week dull it, obscure it, take it out of our hearts and system. May I make a statement to you? That when you come to worship, this is a command. God is simply saying, make a joyful noise in the Lord. He didn't say it if you feel like it. He did not say if you had a good week. He did not say if you didn't argue on your way to worship. Many of us allow our spirit and our attitude toward worship to be dictated by what's happened to us. The psalmist is saying you got to change that. I have never known a soldier to walk up to an officer and say, well, I didn't salute because I don't feel like it. Whatever has gone on in that soldier's life, he knows his protocol to what? Salute. When you were before the king or the queen, they didn't say, well, I didn't bow today because I don't feel like it. No, I had a bad night last night. No. Protocol says you bow. In other words, what I'm simply saying to us, and I think the psalmist is saying to us, is that God is asking us to not let our situations and our emotions and what's going on with us dictate how you worship me. God says, I want some enthusiasm. Now, here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of what I think he's teaching. He says, unto the Lord. And that word Lord is the word Jehovah, which means that God becomes the object of the worship. God becomes the object of the worship. Not your problem, not the situation that you're going through, not even you. God says, I stand outside of all your problems and all of what's going on in life. I stand outside of time. And when you come before me, you have enthusiasm because of who I am and not because of who you are or what you've been going through. To be honest about it, God, don't miss this. God don't care what you've been going through that way when it comes to you coming to worship. God is simply saying, I know what you've been going through, but I know what I want you to do right now in my worship. Have some enthusiasm about what you do when you come. Make a glad, serve the Lord with gladness. The word Lord is the word that is Jehovah. That's his covenant name. That's God's covenant name. When you come before God, you ought to think in terms of the word Lord and Jehovah as a covenant. Why, when I come into worship and I make a joyful noise unto the Lord, is because I know there's a covenant. I know that there is a covenant where God has entered into a covenant for many reasons. Number one, for my protection, for a relationship, Are you with me? Where God is providing, where God is saving, God is simply saying, listen, when you come to worship, get away from you and think about how great I am, how awesome I am. Know who I am. God will say to us that I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Jehovah, Yahweh. Here's the way he told Moses when Moses said, they won't know who is sending me. They don't even know your name. He said, tell them I am that I am. You know, in other words, see, when you really see God, and I know, you know, because if you don't know why you should be excited, then it's probably hard to become excited. So he's going to give us in the rest of the psalm reasons to really know why he is Lord and why he is Jehovah and why he's God. But all I'm wanting you to see is that the object of worship becomes God. Your enthusiasm comes from God and not your problem and not what's going on in your life. I hear people say when they come to worship, well, you know, I didn't get very much out of worship. Worship is not about you getting something out of worship, to be honest about it. You getting something out of worship is a byproduct of you doing what you're supposed to do for God. Because if you come into worship in order to get something out of it, then that means you're the object of worship. And if I don't say something that speaks to who you are and where you are, no. God said, turn it around, reverse it. It's about where I am and who I am and what I'm doing. Now, if you do that, let me illustrate it this way. Moses saw a bush that was burning, right? Are you with me? I want to ask you, why did he stop? Why did Moses stop to see a bush burning? I want to ask you another question. Do you think he'd ever seen bushes before? Huh? Talk back to me. Yes. But what was so different about this bush? So who was in the bush? So you mean to tell me that by God being in the bush, transformed the bush, that made the bush something that took Moses off of what Moses was doing? I don't know what Moses was doing. I don't know what Moses had on his agenda, but whatever was on his agenda, when he saw that bush burning, he stopped to see the bush. It's not about the bush, but he won't know what's in that bush. What's in the bush? If you come to worship and you let God be within you, because he's the object of worship, when you let God be the object of your worship and the object of whatever's going on in your life, say you got sickness. It's sickness all the time. But what makes your sickness so different from everybody else's? It's because you got God in your sickness. Somebody said, well, I got marital problems. Well, welcome to the club. Thank you for telling us what we already know. I don't know anybody been married in a little time. Y'all don't have some problems. But what makes your marriage problem stand out more and makes your problem, that problem, become something that gives glory and honor to God is because you put God in the middle of it. and it transforms it. Listen, put Isaiah 6 on the screen. I'm almost through. I'm almost through. Isaiah 6:1. I want to show you something about Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the what? The Lord sitting upon a what? And he was what? And his train, in other words, what he was wearing, it was so magnificent and so long that it just filled the temple. Are you with me? All right. Now watch this. He's talking about the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. In other words, what he's seeing is the throne of God, and he's seeing a heavenly vision of who God is. So he really sees God for who God is. God is high and God is lifted up. His throne is high. And the angels are everywhere. Are you with me? But watch his response. This is very, very eye-opening. One cried unto another and said, what? Holy. What? Holy is my problem. Mm-mm. Do you think Isaiah had a problem when he saw this? He had all kind of problems because he's human. But I want to show you how his life was transformed once he got God where God belonged. He said, holy, holy is the Lord. This is what one of the servants said. The Lord of hosts. The whole, watch this phrase. The what? Well, I thought this was in the temple. No, your vision of God has to get beyond the church building. It has to get beyond worship. That you got to see God in the whole world. And when you see God that way, then you'll be like, even, he said, whom shall I send? And Isaiah, once he saw God and saw how low and how undone he was, he said, here am I. Watch the enthusiasm. Here am I, Lord, send me. But it took God within Isaiah to see God properly that gave him the impetus. If you and I in our worship have to have a certain song leader, a certain preacher, and a certain atmosphere in order for us to get excited about God, we miss God. God is simply saying, I'm everywhere. I'm in everything. God is simply saying to us that if you can't come to worship enthused about me, don't wait until you get here to get enthused about me. That's enough about me that you ought to come here. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's a whole lot of preaching in that statement too. I can't get to it this morning, but I plan to get to it because there is a certain joy that comes with it. Worship service, ladies and gentlemen, involves serve the Lord Jehovah with gladness. Serving with gladness. Every act of our worship ought to be with joy. It ought to be with gladness. You know, we hear this passage in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, where it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But watch this, every man according as he purposes in the heart, so let him what? Give. But watch what he says, not what? Grudgingly, nor of what? Necessity, for God loveth what kind of giver? Isn't that the same that the psalmist is asking, commanding? God wants us to give to him how? Cheerfully, with enthusiasm. I can't wait to give to you, God. And when you think about it, all I'm asking you to do this year, all we're asking as we looked at this psalm is to let this psalm guide us in changing our spirit, changing our attitude, and allowing it to be that which focuses in on God and not ourselves. Letting God transform our situations. Here's what will happen. If you're having a bad day and you decide that I'm going to go ahead and worship God the way he asked me to worship him, I guarantee this. Now, you played the lottery and you didn't win that. You ain't going to win that Powerball. But you can win this. This is a guaranteed win right here. When you, and it's your choice. It's your choice. You got the power to choose the kind of spirit and attitude you want to have in worship. You know how I know? It because everything else, you may have a bad day. But I tell you what, when you run up against something that you know, you better change your attitude. You sure do change it pretty quickly. Amen, amen. I know I do. You let the officer stop me, and I'm mad because he stopped me. And when he come up next to my window, and he look at me, and he said, Mr. Gibbs, I don't show all that old bad attitude and spirit and stuff like that. I change my attitude just right then. So I know it's possible. Don't say you can't change. No, you can change. It's in your power to determine how you want to worship God. But here's the guarantee. If you change your spirit and come to God with enthusiasm, make a joyful noise unto him. And that second verse is that joyful noise is seen. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So the shout or the noise that he's asking us is in the next part of that verse. He explains it. He says, this is what I want you to do. Serve me with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This really ties into New Testament passages where Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Which simply means that whatever you're going through, God wants you to choose rejoicing, gladness, enthusiasm for him because of who he is and because you have this covenant relationship with him. So our worship should transform us. Transform us. And here is what I'm telling you. This is guaranteed. If you worship God correctly and make him first in worship on the first day of the week, your next few days and days in that week, I guarantee you, you'll look at them differently because you started the week right by setting God where God should be. Instead of wanting God to see you through your problem, no, you see God through your problem. And when you see God, then God will transform whatever's going on. He'll help your marriage. He'll help your job situation. God will help all, but you're going to have to worship him right, and you're going to have to put him and make him first. God bless us. As we go through this study, we want you to study it with us, and we want you to take to heart and put into practice some of the things that we're talking about. God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy of all adoration. God simply wants us to know who he is. Glory of God is in his goodness. The glory of God is in his grace. The glory of God is in his love. The glory of God is in his forgiveness. Glory of God is in his faithfulness. Glory of God is in his salvation. His glory is in everything he did. His glory is in everything that he spoke. His glory is in every promise that he made. We see his glory in the rose. We see it in the sun. We see it in the stars, in the sunset, in diamonds, rainbows, even this wonderful body that he gave me. I see the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice of God is not heard. Most of us should see the glory of God culminating in Jesus Christ himself, who came down to this earth, and notice how that he became flesh, that we might be able to see God as he is. And I'm telling you, don't ever lose sight of who God really is. And when you do that, making him first, I guarantee you. No, I don't. He does. Because I can't guarantee anything. I'm just a spokesman telling you what he has guaranteed us, and that he will make a difference in our lives. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm begging you to know him, because that's how you glorify him now, through his son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will want a relationship with God. Start the new year off right by giving your life to Christ, making him the savior of your life, making him the one who will guide you in your life and the one who will sustain you through all things. Give your life to Christ. You do that by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God. Go down in the water of grave of baptism as for the remission of sin, but when you come up, you'll be a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Become new on this new Lord's Day in 2018. You strayed from God, rededicate your life. Will you come? Rededicate yourself. Get back where God would have you to be. Somebody ought to want to make a difference. Somebody ought to want to start the year off right. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Just as I am without one plea, upend thy blood, wash it for me, and